decided to preach on these little parables of the mustard seed and the yeast that Jesus told. Decided a couple weeks ago, and after listening to Pastor Ed preaching on Acts 2 and how when the Spirit was poured out, the church community came together, and as Ed really said, describing it, to shape a new culture. And that's ultimately what God is doing in the earth. He's shaping a new culture. Now that's one way of putting it. I don't know how you might describe what God's up to in the world. How do you think of the kingdom of God? I mean, we've just been given a little picture in baptism. What kind of pictures come into your head when someone asks you, or you just think, so what is Christianity anyways? What do you think God's trying to accomplish in this world? This morning we look at two short stories where Jesus paints a picture of what he calls there the kingdom of heaven and what it's like. Matthew 13, and you know, I don't have the page. Most of us are probably going to be familiar, otherwise it's short. You can listen to Matthew 13, verses 31 to 33. Jesus spoke more about the kingdom, much, much more than he did about the church. And in Matthew's gospel in particular, he speaks about the kingdom of heaven, what it might be like. And every example he gives, and he tells several parables in Matthew 13, they're rather earthy. Planting seeds, harvesting a crop, baking bread, fishing in a lake. Matthew, with these examples from Jesus, these stories from Jesus, and referring to them as the kingdom of heaven, is trying to communicate to especially Jewish people that the kingdom of God is not to be seen so much in physical realities as in spiritual realities. Because the people that were taking issue with him were those who thought, today we say more in terms of religious things than spiritual realities, more in terms of externals than internals. Now, Jesus was speaking to everyone, but in particular to Jewish leaders. And today we might say he's speaking to millennials who are a little bit fed up with organized Christianity and want to get to the deeper things, the relational, internal things of life. That's why Jesus told these parables. Listen to them in Matthew 13, 31 to 35. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took, mixed it into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Then Matthew comments that Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, so was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet in Psalm 78. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. Well, friends, God, family, brothers, sisters, parables have been called earthly stories with a heavenly meaning, some truth to that. I think we might describe them as vision talks. Because Jesus is here especially trying to help his disciples, for whom some discouragement is setting in, that these people who have given up their day jobs to follow him, it's okay. They've not lost it. It's worth following him. See, Jesus is, by this time in Matthew's story, experiencing opposition. We say scoring low in the polls. And he's especially getting it from the more higher class, middle high to higher class folks around him. You know, the sick and the poor, they were coming to Jesus. They saw how he fed him and how he healed them. But that's not how you get a movement going, unless you want to start a revolt, I suppose. So here's Jesus. He started out his ministry by saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And the disciples are still waiting for it to come close. Where is it? Is this it? Us few and a few others and all these people, especially the ones in the establishment coming against us? Where is it? And sometimes I think in our country and culture, we ask ourselves the same question. So what's really happening to Christianity? What's really happening to the kingdom of God in Canada? Seems to not be coming near. Seems to be disappearing. Last I heard, we still worship in Canada as Christians the lowest number in our history. On the way to church, we see lots of people running and doing sports, and there's lots of people, but they're not so much worshiping anymore. And, you know, we really can't use the name of Jesus publicly. Well, we can, but not when it's a formal public ceremony. So, you see, it seems like we're losing more and more ground. And the disciples, they're trying to gain it. They thought they were on the upswing. But the feeling is about the same. And Jesus is saying, now before you make too many conclusions about the kingdom, I'd like you to think and look a little deeper. Because you've been looking for something impressive and probably big. How about you look for something small? Like a mustard seed. Something you can hardly see. And if you can imagine that this is what the kingdom of God's like, can you? It's a seed. The kingdom of God is like a seed which a person plants in a field. And it just begins to grow and becomes a bush. Birds come in it. Or Jesus says, perhaps there's another analogy that will work better for you. Can you imagine what the kingdom of God? Here's this lady, she's got this, you know, 40 liters of dough, and she's sprinkling in a little bit of yeast. Think of the yeast. That's what the kingdom of God is like. as it silently, mysteriously, subversively makes its effects known as the kingdom comes. It's a new paradigm for them, and I sometimes think for us, because we get taken in by bigness, by Trump towers, powerful leaders, best-selling authors, wealthy landowners, famous sports figures. We even find security in being aligned with them or with large corporations. So Jesus says, I'd like to create a different thing in your imagination for how I work. It's a subversive movement. And he really went about creating disciples who were ready to be obedient in such a way that they became something like secret agents, doing transformative work, often behind the way, the scenes, in what we might call insignificant ways. I mean, look how Jesus got his start on this planet. Who ever expected a teenage girl in a far-out village to give birth to the King of Kings in a barn? Just shattered all how their imaginations pictured how the God of heaven and earth would start. And Jesus says, welcome to the kingdom. Starts like a seed in a hungry soul, like a Mary who's ready to say, Lord, be it to me according to your word. And God uses such faithfulness to do amazing things. The great movements in history have begun and been sustained by people who were not trying to be famous or big, just trying to be faithful, like a Joseph or a David. And my guess is, I don't know our history that well, but usually churches, the reason they began and the reason that they're being sustained is because there are a good number of people who simply want to be faithful followers of Christ. That's all. Little so-called people making together a much bigger difference. So this isn't the generic teaching, small is beautiful. It's Jesus saying, this is how the kingdom, you need to imagine it as initially getting its start and how it's working in the minds of people in whom the word, and the seed is the word of God, it's been implanted. They've received the message of Jesus. And when it's shared, it has incredible potential. Somebody once visited Mother Teresa in Calcutta and said, oh, this is so amazing what you've done. What a huge impact. You're known all around the world. In response, she said, we feel that what we are doing is just a drop in the big ocean. But the ocean would be less because of that missing drop. The kingdom of heaven is like a small seed, a redemptive thought planted in the mind of a stammering teenager, in a soft-spoken teacher, a homebound widow, or a bedridden cripple. A word giving hope and helping them still imagine what God is doing. The kingdom of heaven is seen in the smile of a mom that's changing a stinky diaper. It's at the bedside when dad is praying with the daughter. Seeds that in the end can make a huge, huge difference. people teaching a class, listening to someone who's discouraged, taking time to be with a co-worker, acts of loving obedience in Christ's name. Incredible potential. Little seeds that when they grow can crack large stones. Probably the greatest hindrance to us acting out on our faith is this lie of the devil that we have such a weak faith that it's not worth acting upon. It's insignificant, not strong enough, won't make a difference. So the disciples once felt. They came to Jesus wondering why they couldn't drive out a demon, and Jesus says, why couldn't we? And Jesus says, because you have so little faith. In other words, yeah, you're small, but you don't even see it. And then he adds, I want to tell you what's true. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Just little faith. And he says, nothing, and we have to be careful, we can make so much about nothing, will be impossible to you. But what Jesus is saying is, what's the mountain in front of you that's keeping you from making a move? It takes very little faith to see how big God is. Once they were dealing with forgiveness, it's really hard to forgive. And they went to Jesus and they actually asked him if they'd give us more faith so that we can forgive. And Jesus said, if you have faith, this is in Luke 17, as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea. Sin, go away. And it will obey. Yes, little is much when Jesus is in it. That's how one song we used to sing with the kids. Which leads to the next emphasis in this story. From a small start comes a large tree. There probably was a mustard tree right next to them. Jesus often did that. Taught, as it were, in the open. They grew there on the side of the road. And most of them were probably familiar with these Old Testament images that compared the kingdoms, the large kingdoms of the world, to mulberry trees that birds could come into, because these large nations took other people in, just like in Canada, right? We take lots of people in. And Jesus says, can you see how if just a number of people have this small faith, we can become this tree that welcomes all kinds of people? As we show hospitality and love in Christ's name. It continues to happen in the world today. In many countries, the gospel is making inroads. Governments may not recognize it. They are not allowing Christianity to flourish. Some of you know, because of my involvement with Resource Leadership International, I've become a little more familiar with what's happening around the world. And the other day heard how in India, the government asked what we call Compassion Canada, but Compassion India, that works with children, and we're spending $24 million a year just in India. They were not allowing any funds to cut in, and all those ministries in India, just, what was it, half a year ago, not quite, got cut. But the church in India, as Christianity Today reported about a half a year ago, is growing by leaps and bounds. Maybe they're feeling threatened because, you see, the tree is growing. There are still many more Christians in the world than there are any other faith system. We are much larger than the kingdoms of the United States and China. And we've come to speak about what's the majority world, because Christianity in North America has gone south, and in Europe it's gone east, and now the majority of people live in the east and the south, and the majority of Christians live there. In fact, this ministry that began, that I'm part of 45 years ago, began in Korea when it was very small and there were few schools. And they began supporting the training of leaders. And today, Korea is the second largest missionary sending nation, second only to the United States. Seeds have ways of growing. Jesus started with a few bands of followers. He didn't get into politics. He established a family, the Church of God. And with these people who are ready to be faithful to him, he has changed the course of history. No one in all of history begins to compare with who Jesus is. This man who never wrote a book or held an official position continues to have the largest impact on this world of any other figure. Yep, the kingdom of heaven, it's like a mustard seed. Man took, planted it in his field, and even though it's the smallest of all seeds, when it grows, it's the largest of garden plants, and it becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches. Yeah, the kingdom of heaven, it's also like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Do you see how the kingdom works in this way too? This is a little different. Silently, subversively turning the world, as they would see it, upside down. We would say, right side up. Until every single part of life is impacted. And if you look closely, under corporate, family, and institutional bushes, you will see the presence of Christ making a difference in marriages, in friendships, in classrooms, in the workshop, in the legislature, in Parliament Hill, servants obeying the call of Jesus, the gospel planted in their heart, and living it out. Yeast. Sometimes, as we said, kingdom seems to be so slow, we might think, as some are declaring, you know, Christianity is essentially, it's not only on the down, it's really a dying faith. Look again. You'll see movement. Another Bible translated. Another soul transformed. A rude person becoming actually kind. A gossiper actually starting to speak positively about others. Somebody who's been a tightwad starting to give really generously because they see what God's up to. A control freak, starting to say, it's okay. An ego-driven leader, actually becoming somewhat humble. Somebody who's bitter, turning sweet, kind. And in the end, nothing is unaffected by the word which allowed to be implanted is received and lived out. God's word never returns empty because he's at work. And someday, as scriptures tell us and history shows, God's going to complete his work. When you look throughout history, we are used to so many institutions today, and again, it might be how we like to think of Christianity, but it is Christians that began formal education, lower and higher levels. It is Christians who began, out of mercy, hospitals. Many are still named after that. It is Christians who began homes for the elderly. That's yeast. And someday, says Jesus, you'll see it complete. My kingdom will come. My will one day be done. Because Christ will reign. The leaven will work its way through the batch. And we will rejoice because we will have reached what has been predestined for this planet and for us. The fullness of Christ, all in all. So do you see why Jesus told parables, says Matthew? So people would be able to get this redemptive imagination about how God works, and they could see these signposts of the kingdom that's coming and get in there and participate with hope and not give up. Jesus spoke all these things, says verse 34, to the crowds because he didn't say anything without parables, actually, because he wanted to fulfill what the psalmist said. I'll open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. If you go and you read Psalm 78, it's a recap of the history of God's people at that point in time. It starts at the beginning, and it's got a little, you might say, a string of short stories giving a picture of what God's up to on the earth. So if we want to participate in that kingdom, we're called, says Jesus, to just listen to the word. You're listening this morning. But if you're someone that's hungry, then you're going to want to listen every day, find ways to hear, to hunger after God, hear his word, and obey it. And then when you have those times where you start to think, I don't know if this is worth it. There's such a few people. We're just a minority. Remember. Remember the small seed in the yeast. And just remember that one day God's literally going to knock our socks off. He's going to surprise us when his kingdom comes. And you be faithful, and we're going to be there to celebrate with Christ and all his people the kingdom that has come. Would you pray with me? God, indeed find us here faithful to you. And help us to see how your heavenly kingdom is coming, and may we patiently continue to invest in it. And when we get discouraged, will you renew in us this vision of what you, O Lord, are up to? We pray that we may be found doing your will, the way you see it, and the way we might see it being done by you in heaven. God, you are a God of grace and a God of glory. And one day, we're going to participate in this coming kingdom and see your power and glory. Until then, find us faithful. In Jesus' name.